You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Good morning and thank you to Susanna Duffy for Left After Breakfast. You are now listening to Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence with me, Amy. Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence today is brought to you from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to any of them listening today and elders, past, present and emerging. I'd like to acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and that it's our responsibility to support First Nations people in their struggle for self-determination, sovereignty, proper treaty, and just lifting them up as best we can, helping them fight their fight, because their fight is our fight.
Slums in some metropolitan centers are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
Amy is a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
That's right, you're listening to Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence with me, Amy, here on a Friday morning. I hope you're well. This is a show about how we all kind of live in little boxes, both in the design of cities and suburbs, which alienate us from one another, and in other ways in life. And also about how we can maybe transform the urban spaces we live to be stewards and caretakers of Mother Earth and this planet we live on. I was thinking about fences with the recent... I'm always thinking about ways to talk to people. And one of the themes of the show is how we can break through the fences that are built up by mainstream media and the curation and algorithms that we find ourselves in with social media. And recently, as everyone is extremely aware, Australia invited someone who has actually incited genocide with his words, called Isaac Herzog. He is the president of Israel, and he came round recently. And as you all heard, Anthony Albanese talked about unity. And it's an interesting thing. I've talked about doublespeak on this show before with the word social cohesion. Doublespeak being that thing George Orwell coined in 1984. And doublespeak, in this case with unity, is quite interesting because it's not actually a call for unity. While the attack, the Bondi terror attack, was horrific and there is no justification for it, it seems like unity was a political strategy to draw a line, as they often do. There is the correct side and then there is the incorrect side. The incorrect side seems to be supporting Palestinian people, people indigenous to their land, in not being genocided and having sovereignty, much like the First Nations people here. So, they use this word unity, much like they use the word social cohesion, and there's an idea being created, a propaganda idea, that if you support a free Palestine, that you believe that genocide is a crime, perhaps the most grievous crime, then you're somehow on the wrong side. But of course, that just saying that outright sounds mad, correct? They wouldn't say those words that I just used. There's a maintenance of it, particularly through mainstream media. And that maintenance is often through filtering information. So, if you listen to the coverage here on 3CR of what happens in Palestine, you will have heard that the United Nations, the International Criminal Courts, and the International Court of Justice label what's going on a genocide. That Karim Khan from the International Criminal Courts has put out arrest warrants. It's been a while now since those arrest warrants for Netanyahu were out and others. And I believe also some of the Hamas, those arrest warrants were out. And because the world can clearly see that Israel's response to that attack is unjustifiable. Genocide is never justifiable. But that information gets filtered out of the mainstream press. You listen to the ABC coverage, they won't call it a genocide, they'll call it a war. Even though the UN Special Rapporteur, Francesca Albanese, says it's in the hundreds of thousands, several hundreds of thousands of innocent people who've now been killed or missing. So that information gets filtered out. Very important information, because that draws another line, correct? If you hear the United Nations, the International Criminal Courts, the International Courts of Justice calling it a genocide, well then, that kind of makes some of the stuff you hear in the maintenance from the government, from the mainstream press, makes it sound a bit suspect. And it's a sophisticated apparatus. But there's a really simple way to help dismantle that apparatus. And that's by talking to your neighbors, which is what this show is all about. And talking to your neighbors, I've actually used the arrest warrants as a great example to when someone's confused at work about Palestine, Israel. And I lay down what Francesca Albanese says, what the United Nations say. Suddenly, I see in their face things starting to turn, wheels starting to turn. Like, oh, I didn't know that information. And so that's what we do here at 3CR, is we give you that information to help you better informed to go out into the world to have those conversations. So we can actually work towards true unity, but with justice, proper justice, justice for people who've been harmed by crimes, and to dismantle unjust systems of power and unjust governments. So, let's go to a little break now, and then we're going to hear a bit lighter now, some stuff about neighborhood houses.
They're eyeing off an estate which is in perfectly good condition. It just happens to have bay views and a lot of open space.
Bay Views for All is a new documentary that reveals the human cost of the Victorian government's public housing redevelopment project. The film documents residents of the Barrack Beacon public housing estate as they fight to save their homes and community. Bay Views for All is available for community members, public housing advocates, and organisations to screen, intending to spark conversations, raise funds, and educate audiences on the importance of public housing. To organise a screening, email barrackbeacon@gmail.com. That's BARACBEACON @gmail.com.
Save public housing! Stop the demolition!
A 3CR supporter.
Did you know that Western Sahara is Africa's last colony? The issue of Western Sahara was raised in the Eddie Mabo case referencing Terra Nullius. Western Sahara is illegally occupied by Morocco. Indigenous Sahrawis are denied their right to self-determination. France continues to veto United Nations human rights observation in Western Sahara. Sahrawi people are being killed by Israeli drones. Like to learn more? Become informed. Become an Australia Western Sahara Association member at awsa.org.au. Australian Western Sahara Association is a 3CR supporter.
And you're back with me and with Amy on 3CR Community Radio. It's Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence. We were just talking about how to talk to your neighbours. We're also really big on building communities. Communities that can work together to realise their power to affect change. And one of the great resources here in so-called Victoria for maintaining and looking after your community are neighbourhood houses. Originally come from the grassroots of the women's movement, where women just pulled some money together, bought a house. Wow, not something you can do now. And now it's become a bigger organization, and near you there is a neighborhood house that offers wonderful things. So I went to the Neighborhood House Rally, now Neighborhood Houses Rally, but Neighborhood Houses Victoria this week. I was also there with Resident Frequency crew, Maurice and Marley, shout out to them. And yeah, I got to speak. I did some vox pops with all the wonderful people who came out that day to chat about why they love neighborhood houses. And let's go straight into it. Let's hear some of the chats from the day.
We care about our community house, which is Yay Community House, because it's the heart of community. Most things start at our house, and then all of our people that get together and community engagement, it's great.
It helps keep community together. And we're a small community, and it just creates that connectivity in a very small town.
Yeah. So what community houses, neighbourhood houses are we here representing today?
We're actually all from Yay Community House, which is a really small house, but we actually have a lot of people attending a variety of activities in our house.
Yeah. What are some of the activities that happen at your house?
Okay, well, we have a whole variety from Tai Chi to line dancing to Mahjong. What else, Carly?
Table tennis. We have some big events like Yay Cruise Night and Yay Railway Market.
So we do a lot for a small house.
Yep. Amazing. Was there anything else you wanted to say to leave with people?
Just that it would be wonderful if we're successful today and gain a little bit more funding, because we're probably one of the houses that are at risk of closing because of lack of funding. So
keep our doors open.
Yeah. I'm wishing you luck.
Thank you for talking.
What neighbourhood house are you representing today?
So I'm Jo, I'm coordinator of Angliss Neighbourhood House in Footscray.
Oh, amazing! Footscray, the centre of so much at the moment.
Absolutely. Heart of the inner west, I reckon.
Yeah. And why do the people of Footscray need your neighbourhood house?
Look, there are so many examples, but we are certainly an example in Footscray. I feel like the need for our neighbourhood house has never been greater. So many people need, you know, whether it's material assistance, whether it's social connection, whether it's, you know, assistance with other services and accessing things. Neighbourhood houses are such a conduit, such a broker, you know, for so many people to getting what they need and connecting with others and finding a sense of community. You know, it's really tricky times, I think, for many people. There's a lot of isolation, a lot of vulnerability, and what neighbourhood houses are amazing at is getting people together and not just doing that reactive, responsive stuff where you're sort of assisting with a real need, but actually proactively building the kind of community connection and strength that actually makes everyone safer, everyone, you know, more likely to find what they need, get what they need, and stay safe and well. So we just can't believe that we have to do it on so little, you know, and yeah. We're amazing. Like, neighbourhood houses are incredible at doing what we do, but the reality is it's getting harder and harder to resource all the different things that we need. So yeah, hopefully big turnout today, and we know we are well loved, but I think an understanding of just how hard it is on the resources that we currently have is needed. Yeah.
Get in there. I'd love lots of voices.
Add to that, I'm Catherine Curtin from the Louis Joel Arts and Community Centre in Altona.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We foster tolerance, and that's a big thing for not just Victoria, but Australian communities.
Yeah.
So the government should be investing in organisations that build tolerance amongst our community members.
Yeah. I actually go to a local LGBT plus group through my neighbourhood house.
Yay.
Yeah.
So, where is that at?
In Geelong.
Fabulous. Yeah. We do everything in neighbourhood houses.
Absolutely. And I get to connect. Yeah.
Community
is where people need to be, you know, like what we need to be fostering, like Catherine said, sense of belonging, community, being part of, not fractured. Yeah. And neighbourhood houses are key pieces of infrastructure that in our communities that actually enable that. They're one of the very few that bring so many different streams of community together.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be investing in.
Yeah. And it's I learned from Kia, the CEO, that the origins of neighbourhood houses were just women getting together to build them, to just put some funds together, buy a house and look after their community.
Well, yeah, I mean, they came out of the women's movement, neighbourhood houses. So they came already out of a social activist space to provide spaces and places for women, by women. And then they, from that grassroots, then expanded out into broader community. So they come from an activist belonging place. And that's what's really important to honour and remember, that this was started organically by women. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Right on.
Good luck today.
Yeah, thanks,
Jeremy. I'm from 3CR Community Radio. We're recording and broadcasting the speeches from today's rally. And I'm here also to hear from different community members about why they like neighbourhood houses. So if anyone would like to say a few words about how much they love their neighbourhood house.
Look, I love all neighbourhood houses because they're just so different and they have an amazing ability to just meet the needs of the communities in which they're situated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever the gaps are in that community, that's what the neighbourhood houses work with communities to bring, that real strength-based approach to community development.
And are you representing a particular neighbourhood house today?
Yeah, I'm here with the Mallee Neighbourhood House Network. Yep. So we've come from Mildura, Robinvale, Murrawville, Oyen, Bullock Shire, Gunawarra Shire. It's amazing. Yeah.
And what are some of the fun activities that happened at your place?
So at our neighbourhood houses, we could do craft activities, exercise, a lot of social inclusion, which is really important. We help link people into other services as well, so which is a real challenge, I suppose, particularly in rural and isolated areas where there's not the other services there.
Yeah, I was just saying that I go to a neighbourhood house in Geelong, and our LGBT plus community group meets there, and we get community connection in a town where maybe it's a little bit harder to find that.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about the neighbourhood houses, that they really have this niche ability to be able to make sure that everyone is included and everyone has a place.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Was there anything else anyone wanted to say?
Okay. Sami Amatul Labbalalo. I'm Harik.
Pardon?
I'm Harik.
Harik?
In my language.
Yep, yep.
Sami Amatul Labbalalo. Now the Zeta Matano. International support budget and this set and Lemon Mar, but must wait budget and this set and no. Now budget and this set and the Yakala Namasagalalo.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. I can do it in Spanish, but I can do it in English. But
we have a show called Mafalda.
Mafalda, of course. I was part of Mafalda.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah, do you want to tell us about that?
I would like to tell you about why I'm here today.
Yeah.
And it's because I strongly believe about the critical role that community houses have in our community.
Yeah.
But it's more than ever.
Yeah.
More than ever, what they do in relation to social connection, in relation to opportunities for future employments, information yeah. and referral. So that's why I am. And when I started,
yeah.
this is my personal, part of it. When I came to Australia in 1975, one of the first things I did, probably after 2 years, it was a little course that it was actually provided by Homeless Glen Community House. I'm not sure about the name, where they actually learned how to be in this country, to adapt to this country, to all of those things. So that's why, personally, it's very important.
Yeah. There's a neighborhood house I used to do the gardens for in Melrose Street, near the Melrose Public Houses Towers. And there's actually a Spanish-speaking community, an older Spanish-speaking community that uses it and plays cards and plays piano and hangs out there. And the staff there also speak Spanish, but it's going to be closing because of the public towers closing.
This is in Carlton.
With the Melrose Street.
I'm so sorry to hear about that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, that these community houses, community places are more important than ever because we're losing that social connection.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm here today.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, neighborhood houses, as Geraldina, one of our committee members, said, it's very important because that's a place that the community feels safe to come in and ask for any sort of help. And especially for new migrants, where our Springvale neighborhood house is situated, we get new migrants, refugees, they don't know where to go, and they find this place very comfortable to come to and get help from. So it's very important that neighborhood houses and community centers are important in the community.
And what neighborhood house are you from today again, sorry?
Springvale neighborhood house. Yes.
Yeah, and so it's a safe place.
It is a safe place for people to come in.
And we need that now.
We need that, definitely. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One Nation is surging in the polls. March for Australia is on our streets. We urgently need to build an anti-racist movement to counter this wave of hate. That's why the Refugee Action Collective has called a forum at Trades Hall on Wednesday, the 25th of February at 6:30 p.m. We'll hear from refugees and migrants, Jews and Muslims, unionists, Greens and Labor. Together we can resist the racists. Be there. Details on RAC's Facebook page. Refugee Action Collective is a 3CR supporter.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to 3CR, Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence on a Friday morning. We've been listening to some vox pops I recorded at the Neighbourhood Houses rally on Wednesday this week. It was on the 18th of February. And it was a great day with a massive turnout and a lot of support. We had also saw a lot of MPs come across, like from across the political spectrum, come out and support. Very successful day. And you're hearing all about the wonderful community asset, the wonderful community asset that neighborhood houses are. You heard from a variety of people representing their neighborhood houses from across Victoria. We're going to jump now to some speeches, and then if we have time at the end of the show, we'll go to some more Vox Pops. And yeah, stay tuned. This is, we're going to jump to some, I think there's a few Vox Pops in this and speeches. Oh, and the two languages you heard as well in the previous set was Somali and Amharic. We're going to try and get some translations of those as well.
I'm very pleased now to hand over to our president, Beth Davidson, OAM. Beth, many of you know she's a long history in this sector. I won't try and summarise it. I will hand over to you.
Can
Beth.
I hear about why you love your neighbourhood house?
Why I love it?
Yeah.
Because I work there. No, it's a good community place. Yeah, it's a place to get people involved. And it's a place for people to come and place to people... for people to be informed.
Yeah.
It's part of connecting everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there a special value it has because it's in a rural community?
Possibly, because we're the only one in that rural community.
Yeah.
So, but it's valuable for the people that choose to use it.
Yeah. And which neighbourhood house is this?
Hamilton.
Great.
Right in the Western District.
Okay, yeah.
The windy West.
Did you want to say something as well?
Sure. Yeah. Hi, I'm Emily from the Camperdown Community House. Yeah. I'm a part of the Southwest Neighbourhood House Network with Deb. And I think neighbourhood houses, especially in rural areas, are in a unique position to be able to respond in real time to emerging community need.
Yeah.
In a unique way compared to other agencies that might be restrained by...
Yeah.
The funding and the specific sort of nature of how they're supposed to operate.
Yeah.
So the community development component is really important to maintain, I think.
Yeah. Do people come to escape the heat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you need...
They also come to stay warm in winter.
Yeah. So would longer hours help for them?
Yes, absolutely.
As long as you're paid?
There's a lot of unpaid open. Hours. Yeah. Yeah. And I think our sector really relies a lot on our volunteer workforce. So there's a... And goodwill, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes, hi, I'm Lydia. I'm the manager of Belgium Avenue and Collingwood Neighbourhood Houses. And we're here today to ask the government to increase funding for all neighbourhood houses across Victoria. We put in so many volunteer hours, that is our staff, our volunteer teams, all of our communities, but we just really need an injection of funds to be able to keep our doors open and keep doing what we do with the community.
What's special about them to you? What are some like cherished moments or something that, you know, just really... you really love about them?
I think it's that grassroots element, really.
Yeah.
I think neighbourhood houses operate at a special part of the ecosystem where, you know, we receive government funding, but we operate in a very different way. We're able to be very agile, very flexible, very responsive to needs in the community or ideas that are coming from the community. And that just creates a really special atmosphere where it's very much community-directed, community-run, community-led. And it's a really special thing that we need to protect.
Which house are you from today?
Collingwood Neighbourhood House.
Yeah, why do you love it?
Because it's a very creative, very welcoming space for all communities.
Yeah, and what value does it bring to those communities?
What values? You got me.
Yeah.
It is honesty, openness.
Yeah.
What else?
Connection?
Connection. Yes, thank you. Connection, friendships.
Yeah.
And I guess equity.
Yeah, yeah. That's really nice. Yeah. So what do you love doing there?
I love making food with the community.
Yeah.
And sharing breaking bread with the community.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite food to make?
Oh, it's difficult to say. I love making pizza, so I've been making pizza with a mansion. We're doing that, and on Tuesday we do kind of an Asian fusion sort of lunch.
Oh, exciting.
And the community gets to participate a lot in that, so that's really nice.
Oh. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. What an amazing turnout. Wow. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I want to start by acknowledging that we are all here gathering in Hiranam on the lands of the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We pay respects to the traditional owners of all of the lands from across Victoria that you have all come from today. And we extend a special welcome, special acknowledgement to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here today. I've got to give a shout out before we start the speeches to some people who have come here from an enormous distance. We've got people here from Mildura, from Redcliffs, from Murrayville on the South Australian border, and all over the rest of the state. Incredible effort to get here today. And I know that there are a number of people that have come from far distances to get here, and some that have come from close distances. And we really appreciate all of your support as we stand here on Parliament to say what? Sorry, what? What was that? Thank you. We've had fantastic support from across the political spectrum for our event today. And I want to acknowledge those MPs that reached out to us who said that they who were coming today or would do their best to come and sent us a personal message of support. And we heard from a couple already. So Gary Maas and Emma Vullen were out here on the steps earlier pledging their support to our cause. And I told Gary that I would quote him. He said to me, you guys just keep the whole show together. Yeah. And I can't think of a better summary for what our sector does, which is keep the whole show together, whether that's social connection, social cohesion, whether it's learning and economic participation, community development across so many communities in Victoria. We've got around 200 neighbourhood houses represented here today. Multiple community members have come out to show their support and multiple neighbourhood house managers. And we are also, I'm very privileged to have our board here today who have all come here, especially from as far away as Mansfield, Birdship, Gippsland and other places to show their support here today. So we are all here united in saying that this sector plays a vital role in every community across Victoria, in metro areas, in regional and rural areas, small, medium and large. We play an incredible role in supporting and working with those communities. We don't work on them. We certainly don't work against them, we work with them. And that is the critical difference for our sector.
And you're listening to speeches from the Neighbourhood Houses Rally that was on Wednesday at Parliament Steps. That's the 18th of this month, Wednesday. And now you can come to 3CR and you can grab a Keep Our Doors Open little postcard that you can send to Minister Ross Spence. They've been provided by Neighbourhood Houses Victoria. There's already been 80,000 that have been sent out. And this is what the card says. Dear Minister Spence, strong communities start in shared spaces and shared moments. Neighbourhood houses are essential for fostering those moments and connections. Every week, 185,000 people access neighbourhood houses in Victoria for resilience, friendship, well-being, learning, inclusion, and connection. Neighbourhood houses have faced rising costs, increasing community need, and erosion of core funding. Our funding no longer covers staff wages, let alone operational costs. Around half of all neighbourhood houses in Victoria are running at a loss. This cannot continue. We are asking you to urgently restore funding to historical levels through a 25% increase, allowing neighbourhood houses to continue providing communities with essential support and connection. I believe from my conversation with Kia, who you just heard speaking, who is the CEO of Neighbourhood Houses Victoria, that it was an $11 million amount. It's not that much money in the grand scheme of government spending. And this is what some of the things that this will lead to. An increased funding for neighbourhood houses by 25%. Support 25 neighbourhood houses who do not currently receive any ongoing funding. And develop a fund for the establishment of 5 additional neighbourhood houses in Victoria's growth areas annually. Let's hear more from the speeches about why these are such a valuable and vital resource for our communities.
I'm very pleased now to hand over to our president, Beth Davidson, OAM. Beth, many of you know she's a long history in this sector. I won't try and summarise it. I will hand over to you, Beth, firstly to say a few words.
Thank you very much, Kia. And as Kia did, I would also like to acknowledge the traditional owners upon whose land we meet today, but whose lands we come from far and wide as well. Kia has already said how far and wide you've all come. And of course, the thing that really strikes me about our sector is volunteers. You've come this far at your own personal expense, not first, so well done. And you've come to deliver a really important message to our elected representatives. Keep our doors open. Now, neighbourhood houses, like most organisations, we continue to face rising costs. Yet, we face the additional impacts of increased community need and the erosion of core funding. Our sector came into being across Victoria when the government was actually to meet the government's desire to establish a web of community development communities at the local level. And volunteers strived to respond by leveraging the small neighbourhood house coordination program investment that currently sits at $43 million a year. How much do hospitals get? $43 million a year, and we deliver a measurable community value of $922 million. What else gives you that kind of cost-benefit ratio? And that's money that we save the state government by improving wellbeing, reducing isolation, connecting people to services, helping communities develop and thrive. We've delivered on the original aspiration of the NHCP, the Neighbourhood House Coordination Program. We've delivered beyond your wildest dreams. We are at the very coalface of service social cohesion. We walk our talk, we drive dollars hard, and we demonstrate that we can deliver. However, sadly, due to inadequate indexation over many years, the program that was designed to cover only part-time wages and operational costs has been eroded to such a degree that now it no longer meets even the needs of the part-time staff members, with nothing left to keep our lights on and our doors open. Some neighbourhood houses are even at risk of closure, even with significant volunteer input, because that's what we've got to remember. There is significant volunteer input into this small current investment that is made. And others, houses have had to take steps to cut hours and services. In fact, operational hours in the sector are now at the lowest point in 10 years. And the loss of value to communities for that, we calculated since 2024, is $233 million community benefit lost. And additionally, here we have currently 25 neighbourhood houses that receive no funding from the NHCP at all. And at this very moment, unfunded neighbourhood houses in Harcourt and Ruffey are working in their communities as they recover from devastating bushfires. Many of Victoria's regional and out-of-metropolitan growth areas have no neighbourhood house, and yet 500,000 people have been added to the population since the last neighbourhood house was funding. Now, we understand that we're in a tight fiscal environment, and that it's clear, though, that we've been able to show that we deliver huge impact for minuscule investment. We're able to demonstrate beyond doubt that we have delivered on the government's outcomes. We have honoured our pact in this partnership, and now we call on the state government to acknowledge our impact and restore funding in real terms. Fund neighbourhood houses that are currently delivering on your content unfunded, and commit to opening 5 new neighbourhood houses per year in growth areas so that we can continue to do what we do well, which is deliver on your desire to strengthen communities and build social cohesion. Social cohesion isn't just words to us, it's what we do every day, making a difference to people's lives. Keep our doors open.
Thank you so much, Beth, for those passionate and wise words. I'm going to introduce one of our standout neighbourhood house managers who has travelled a long way to be here today. Before I do that, I did want to call out some of the MPs that have positively said that they will be here, and I've seen a couple on the steps who didn't message me, but I'll read out a few we've had. And these are from right across. We've got Nationals, Liberals, Labor MPs, Greens MPs, and Legalised Cannabis Party. So I wanted to call out John Pesutto, Tim Bull, Peter Walsh, Ellen Sandel, Kim O'Keefe, David Edishank, Emma Vullen, Chris Kruther, Roma Britnell, Bridget Balance, Anthony Carbine, Gab de Vietri, Tim Reid, Sheena Watt, Cindy McLeish, and Gordon Crignale. And there are probably more on the steps here that I haven't called out today. So apologies if I did, and Gary Masters out here on the steps earlier. Apologies if I missed you. I know some of these coming from regional areas are also taking their neighbourhood houses in from their electorate out to lunch. So if your MP is here and they're not taking you out to lunch, I would definitely have a word to them. But I would really like to welcome now Joe Farrell from Redcliffs. Joe flew here to be here today. She's an impassioned manager in our sector. Joe, if you could make your way, thank you so much for being here and for saying a few words.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. You look amazing. Can we wave out? Does that look so good? Right down the street so everyone can see. Hi, my name is officially Joanne Farrell, and I'm the Executive Officer for the Redcliffs Community Resource Centre. And this is a small community in far northwest Victoria, right up on the border near the Murray, 6 hours drive, or in my case, get up at 4 o'clock this morning and get on a plane. And our centre is proudly owned by the community. They actually bought the centre and built it up over the years. Today, I speak to you on behalf of the Melling Network of Neighbourhood Houses. There's quite a few of us all here. And we're made up of 14 houses, and we actually cover 4 councils. We cover Mildura City Council, Swan Hill City Council, Ganawara and Bulloak. We cover a large rural area of northwest Victoria that is made up of small, passionate, isolated communities. The Melling Network supports the campaign to keep our doors open by asking the state government to commit extra funds in the budget and beyond to the neighbourhood house sector. That's what we want. Yes. Years of underfunding meant we're just operating with very limited staff, or might I say in our sector, one staff member, and stretched resources. Despite growing demand and a rise in complex issues, including mental health and incidents of violence that have touched our sector in our region in the last few
months. It's very important that we understand what these houses are facing. Houses are being forced to cut open hours, reduce programs, or fundraise to keep the lights on. I'm sure everyone here is doing the same. We urgently require increased funding to operate, and many of our housing, including mine, are cutting the days are open because we just can't do it anymore. We just can't keep doing it and doing it. It just comes down to costs and looking after our people, our staff and volunteers. Another thing affecting us in the rural areas is we have a lot of services cut. We don't have banks in our town. We don't have Centrelinks. We don't have government offices. We don't have any of these things. So we fill the gap. The squeeze is real, and we spend most of our time trying to find fun to keep our doors open and to keep our staff and volunteers safe. But you know what? The sad thing is the community, the people that affects the most are most marginalised in the community. The homeless, the lonely and isolated. The hungry, the seniors, the young and the unwell. The disconnected, the new arrivals, the farmers, the workers, the families, the mothers, the fathers, the carers. The stressed, the confused, those seeking comfort and the vulnerable that have been taken advantage of. The people that require food relief to survive. The support groups that come and help you come to our centres. Digital advice, oh, that's a big one. And a meeting place to alleviate loneliness. Some of our communities only got a couple hundred people, remember, very small. And we also do pathways to employment by engagement, study referrals and partnerships and volunteer placement. We're also, which I think we undermined ourselves on this one, a trusted source of information in this non-judgmental, safe environment. The community knows and trusts us, and we take that responsibility very seriously. Staff and volunteers are passionate about their communities. As you know, we all tend to just get on with it. Buckle down, but you can only do this for so long before you burn out. And staff retention begins to suffer. Attracting skilled staff to the sector is difficult, and at the best of times in rural and remote areas, it is much, much harder. Much, much harder. As I'll do, take one of the quotes, without urgent action, communities risk losing a safe, inclusive spaces. Thousands of Victorians rely on every week. Once again, I would like to repeat the message to the state government. Keep our doors open. You know we are worth it, and so is the community we support.
And that's all I'm going to play from the rally this week. You've just been listening to Neighbourhood Houses, people, supporters, users, staff members who work or use or play at Neighbourhood Houses, and they're vital to the community, and we need to see an increase in funding. Next week I'll play some more vox pops and speeches from the event, but we're gradually getting close to the end of the show, and it wouldn't be a Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence episode without Urban Wasteland Survival Guide. That's right, that is the music for Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fences Urban Wasteland Survival Guide, a weekly segment where we bring you something useful to help you survive it out there in the harsh wasteland that is our urban environments. Speaking of waste, one of the things in our wasteful society is clothing. You might have seen some lovely lifestyle bloggers or maybe some kitschy magazine teaching you about how you can spend hours of your day cutting up your clothing to turn it into bags or clothing items or any kind of fun crafty solution. Now, that is awesome if you have the time for it, but really, it's kind of impractical for most people. And so I thought I would introduce how I use old pieces of clothing. Let's be honest, if you wear your clothes out, they're not going to have much secondhand value for someone else. So why don't you make rags? It's a very simple way to get yourself rags for cleaning dishes, cleaning your car, cleaning the house. Our clothes and undergarments are made of all kinds of materials that I've found to be really useful in cleaning all sorts of things. The seams of clothing have a bit of roughness to them, which is quite good for a gentle scrape off some hard food waste that's stuck on a plate. Stretchy sportswear can be quite good at cleaning windows and getting them streak-free. And of course, they're machine washable. Your clothes in the past were machine washable. Why not use your clothes as machine washable items? Another thing I like to do with old clothes is recycle socks. Socks are actually a very useful design because they're circular. So I have gorgeous, beautiful long hair, and I cut my socks into little hair ties. Just requires some decent scissors and about an inch or so of the sock, chop it off. There you go, you've got a nice stretchy hair tie. Hair ties made from materials like cotton, like your cotton socks, are often very good for your hair. They don't damage it, and you're reusing something you already have in your home. You can also cut socks into fingerless gloves. They also make some fun gloves. I like to cut the ankle section of my sock off and pull them over my wrists, and then there you go. I've got a fun new little glove that can go over my fingers and wrists, and I just cut a little hole in the side for my thumb. And if you haven't got long hair, they make excellent ties. You probably have things in your life that you use cable ties or rubber bands for. Just use a sock. Just chop it, like I said, with the hair tie, and then there you go. You've got something to bunch a couple things together. And on ties, a lot of clothing, particularly shopping bags, particularly from boutique type stores where you have like a paper / plastic bag from a store, and then it has this little handle. Whenever those come into the house, I like to salvage those strings and ribbons. Because like using socks as alternatives for cable ties, I can also use those. I use them to tie up electrical cables and other things in my house that I might need. And, well, wrap it round whatever you need to tie up, and a simple knot does the trick. I also have some pots that I use for plants that have two large drainage holes. Important tip if you grow plants in pots is that all plants need drainage, so it's important that your pots have holes for the water to drain out. But sometimes it's too big for the particular plant. Well, I lay a piece of rag at the base of the pot to cover the hole, so it's still a permeable membrane because water will flow through the cloth, but it flows through at a slower rate and it has less of the soil from the pot itself falling out. So if you find a pot's drying out too quickly, the water's going out too quickly, try placing a rag at the bottom and then the soil and your plant with it. Some people have repurposed old stockings in cooking. I would always recommend that if you use any secondhand clothes for food, that you wash them thoroughly and that you make sure you know what the material the clothing is made out of. So what are some of the interesting uses you have for rags that are simple and anyone can do? My hot tip if you're going to embark on this journey of recycling your clothes into rags, get yourself a good pair of scissors. You can get yourself some fabric scissors, or the scissors you use to cut hair are usually sharp enough to get nice clean cuts of your clothes. It saves you a lot of time. And that's all we have time for this week on the Urban Wasteland Survival Guide. Stay tuned for more 3CR Community Radio. And that's pretty much it for today. I see the Think Again crew outside are getting ready and are about to come in. So I'm just going to say one last little message. Speaking of which, don't forget to come into Neighbourhood House to 3CR and grab a Neighbourhood House's postcard to support your local Neighbourhood House. But also, March the 5th at 2 o'clock, Uncle Taljim has kindly given his time slot up for me to do Dissociative Identity Disorder Awareness Day again. I am someone who lives with this mental health disorder. People will be familiar with it. It's formerly known as multiple personality disorder. We are a heavily stigmatized group of people with in mental health, and we'll be having some great conversations with other people. The theme this year is navigating medical systems. We'll be chatting to Kathy Kesselman from the Blue Knot Foundation and other people living with DID and their experiences of navigating the health systems with complex trauma and dissociation. This is now, we're not going to leave some tune, we're going to give you a tune now, sorry. This is from an album called Melt Ice, which is the Minnesota Artists United Against ICE, the awful, terrorizing, in fact, terrorist organization under the United States government of immigration control enforcement, which is currently just doing heinous things, as I'm sure you're very well aware. This tune is by Obi Original and the Black Atlantics. It's called Zuma. And let's hear it. Stay tuned for Think Again and see you in a fortnight's time.
Thank you. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.